All right, so let's get rolling. So, welcome to Behind the Door series number 10. This is our effort with L&B Counseling to try to break the stigma of counseling. One of the ways that we do that is to show you what happens behind the door. So, whether you're a caregiver, a prospective client, maybe another clinician, just looking for some tips and tools, this is the right place to be. Today we are going to talk about some of what we talked about last week, which is just neuroplasticity, the neural network, central nervous system, and then what we do to try to leverage change in our clients that are experiencing particularly anxiety, but also depression, and some of those other things. Sometimes we work with kids, we'll call it the Hulk, that just kind of lose their emotional control, and therefore their prefrontal cortex, which is still developing, kind of goes offline, and they just start acting in a way that normally they would not act. So this is applicable to kids, to teenagers, and to adults. One of the things to bear in mind, if you we use this idea a lot, like Plato, when you're young, and when you're even when you're a teenager, there's more room for your brain to develop. If you remember the clip that we had, kind of showing all that neural pathway development that we talked about with teenagers and young kids. There's just a lot more room for things to take hold. And so that's why learning, they talk about language at age 7. That's why a lot of this stuff is suggested at those times, because there's great, great, great room, vast rooms of in your brain, of your neural network to develop. As you get older, right around the age of 25, and give and take, but there the neuroplasticity gets hard. So it becomes a lot harder to affect change. Not necessarily harder to learn, but some of the habits that we've talked about before, like the habit loop, those get solidified. So the easiest example is if you're right-handed, you've overlaid that neural network, millions of times using that right hand, and your left hand is somewhat proficient in some things and very inefficient at most things, because that neural network's not there. So if you remember last week, we talked a lot about this neuroplasticity in relations to anxiety, and we and even COVID some, but we talked about the things that the brain is striving for is that automation, which is that habit loop that we've talked about in, a couple times in this series. And then we also talked about the brain is searching for duration, pathway, and outcome. And a lot of times it's getting misaligned with information, so it gets stuck, or in other cases, someone that may be misbehaving, they think this is the right path for them to get what they want. So, ironically, they're getting dopamine if they think this is the right path. So, it's buffering some of the stuff that they're experiencing, and that's why they may continue down this road. If you, the example of the kid in the grocery store that wants a candy bar in the checkout line. Well, he may think this is the best path for him to get that candy bar, and so he's getting some dopamine because he thinks he's on that right path. And then if he actually gets the candy bar, then it just rewards him that, hey, this was exactly what I wanted. This is the outcome I wanted. Duration's not really important to him because he's got all the time in the world. So sometimes he'll try to wait you out. So what we try to do is play with the brain's natural inclination to do that. But just make sure you're on the right path. So duration, pathway, outcome. We're playing around with that pathway. We've talked about it was actually in the first one of these, the shoulder technique and the decision tree. So when we're trying to play around with that pathway, we are trying to do things that are difficult to do, they're challenging. So whether it's restructuring behavior when you get angry, not getting what you wanted, whether it's feeling fear due to anxiety. Or whether it's feeling down because you're just having a bad moment, we try to play around with that pathway that says like, all right, so here's a moment. There's a lot of tension in it. It feels very uncomfortable, but we want to lean into it rather than pull away from it. And by leaning into it, you are now deciding that this is what you want to do. And so while you're getting some adrenaline that says, hey, we need to do something here, you're also getting some dopamine at the same time that says, you're on the right path. Keep doing this. If you keep doing this, you're going to have a great outcome. So we try to educate our clients and our caregivers that this is not a short-term thing, it's more of a long-term thing. But if you continue along this path, If you continue to use the decision tree, if you continue to use the shoulder technique, that while it still will be challenging and it will continue to be hard, and that it may, anxiety itself may never go away, if you use this path, you'll get dopamine at the same time, which will give you a reward sensation that says, all right, this is working. Let me continue to do this. Let me continue to follow this. And so we're using those techniques while educating them that, hey, we are changing, you are trying to change the structure of your neural network, because what had been happening from a habit standpoint is every time that, let's say, a worry pops in or anxiety pops in, and you pull back, you're overlaying the network that's already there. So that network becomes more automated each time you use it and becomes stronger. And the only way to kind of cause a little crackle in that network is to lean in and do the opposite of what you're used to doing. With the shoulder technique, you know, we call that the right shoulder. The right shoulder is trying to tell you, don't go do this hard thing. It's giving you hypotheticals that are possible, but just not currently present. And the left shoulder saying, all right, we got to lean in. This is hard. This is the right thing to do. You know, we need to go outside if we think the weather's going to be bad and you're afraid of lightning. Or we need to go outside if you're afraid of bugs, because we have no evidence that one is going to bite you or sting you. You know, we need to speak up to people in a social group or speak up in a class. This is hard. This is very difficult. But this is the path that will help you become more comfortable with it. And so when you do that, you get dopamine. So fundamentally, just kind of understand, kind of backtrack a little bit, that all this stuff that's happening, they'll call them states of mind, is a sensation. It's just your nerves firing. It's creating a sensation. You are perceiving that sensation, and you are assigning an emotion to it. So, you know, with most of the clients that we see, they're assigning worry, anxiety, fear, scared, whatever you want to call it, or maybe anger, irritation, irritability, frustration. And based upon that emotion, you're now creating a thought. So every time you do that, and you go into this mode of thinking, you're establishing that neural network, and then you're overlaying it, overlaying it, overlaying it. So if someone's stomach hurts, or the easiest one is you hear a loud noise, and you immediately perceive that as good or bad, and you have an emotion of, okay, there's a worry, I need to do something about that, or it was nothing. And then you quickly come to that thought, like, all right, I need to think what's next, or I need to not do anything at all. And then you either act upon it or you don't. So this this kind of path of sensation, perception, emotion, thought, and then action, you control the last four. You don't control the sensation anymore. So the sensation is a loud noise, or a car coming in your other lane, or smelling smoke, anything that is sensory. Is aiding your sensations to help you decide what to do. Remember that the brain is trying to keep you alive. Its goal is to help you grow and then evolve and then potentially produce offspring. That's the job. And that's been the job since however long you believe humans have been around. And so what's been happening, at least with, you know, in our kind of line of work, is sometimes those sensations are being perceived incorrectly. And so all we're trying to do is illuminate that, hey, this stuff's going on, and we're going to, this network's here, but we're going to work on a different network over here despite having the same sensation. So we're going to learn how to perceive it differently. We're going to learn how to evaluate that emotion, and then we're going to learn how to think about it and then act on it. So that's where the shoulder technique comes in, is, hey, I've got this sensation. Is it worry? So I have some legitimate stuff going on. So if it's worry, then I'm going to have a different thought about it. If it's anxiety, I'm going to have a different thought about it and a different action towards it. I'm either going to lean in and deal with the challenge and the resistance, because I know that's going to get me what I need long term, or I'm going to take a break and not lean in, but I'm consciously deciding to do that. So all of that is a different network than this other thing that's been overlaid that's causing problems. Now, I think, you know, to kind of draw it back to COVID, you know, you think of that duration, pathway, outcome, and I know this is occurring a lot in our field, and you're hearing more and more about it, COVID grief, and we talked about it a couple episodes ago. Duration, we don't really have a timeline for, let's say school. How long are we not going to be in school? For those of us that are not, I have kids that are not getting to go back to school right away. How long is that going to be? Is this the right path? Are we doing the things that we need to be doing? Who do we listen to make sure that we're on the right path? So we can feel, so we can get some dopamine knowing that it's the right thing to do. And then what does the outcome look like? And going back to that duration, how long is that duration going to last? So that's where COVID kind of comes in and messes with all this circuitry. And so the things that we teach is to understand, there's some grief going on with that, like I talked about in some of those other couple of series ago. And that's just feeling like in denial, feeling like you want to bargain out of it. There's some acceptance at times, but there's anger and sadness mostly. And we're going on what, 4 or 5 months of this, and so that neural network is starting to get laid because you lay pretty well because you've been acting and thinking in those ways, and it's just kind of overlay, overlay, overlay. So that's some of the stuff we're seeing too. We still can use the decision tree, and we still can use the shoulder techniques. It works really well for those things. So we can decide what is a worry, what is an anxiety. I know with some of my clients going back to school right now, it's deciphering what is a worry and what is an anxiety when you're on campus or in your dorm or your apartment and things like that. So that way they know how to act. And they know how to perceive the sensation and act accordingly to it, rather than it causing them to not do something and lean in when they should. I hope that helped. I always try to keep these short and under 15 minutes. I'll allow a couple of minute or a minute or so maybe if people have questions. Just a programming note for next week. Next week, Sade is going to do Behind the Door series number 11. She's going to talk about her mindfulness. Some of the mindfulness techniques. So that's one of the things you can do if you're choosing consciously to not lean in, and if you're just needing to kind of relax and escape. Great deal of research out there on mindfulness and how much it helps and effective it is. So she's going to be doing that same time, 11 o'clock on Thursdays. And if she's also going to be doing a mindfulness group down the road, and so you'll be able to kind of hear some of the things that she's going to do and how she's doing it, and maybe you'll be interested in joining her group. So she'll be on tap for next week. Like always, we appreciate you being here. It's just one of the ways that we're trying to break the stigma of counseling at L&B Counseling, to let you see what we do and how we do it and the science behind it. So hopefully it's helping. And if there's things that you want us to discuss in the future, we'd be more than happy to look into that if it's something that's in our wheelhouse. And also, just one thing is Kevin King is also doing a COVID anxiety group that is going to be starting in 2 weeks. So if you're interested in joining that group, it's for kids and adolescents. But if you're interested in joining that group, just reach out to Kevin. You can find him on the website and let him know you're interested, and he'll keep you in the loop about when the group's going to start and what all is expected. All right. As always, thank you for being here. Y'all have a wonderful week and weekend, and we will see you next week. Thanks. Bye.